So today we're doing a podcast with a gentleman of the name of Mark Blundell. I want to give a bit of context about this podcast and why we're doing it. So I received an email from Graham Holm, who we had on the podcast. His podcast went viral, was our biggest podcast yet. I get an email with him saying, "Both Sides Boys, I'm going to send you a link. With that link will be access to my webinar. Feel free to promote it. And off the back of that, we can do some type of business arrangement." I thought, fantastic. So he introduced me to a gentleman by the name of Mark. I was expecting to have a conversation with one of Graham's employees. Originally, I viewed you as potentially an employee of Graham's. And I did some research. I tried to find a bit of background about who Mark was on Instagram, social media, and website. Couldn't find much at all. So I was like, okay, there's a gentleman I'm about to have a conversation with. I'm a little bit curious because he was introduced to me via Graham, and it was just to have a conversation about promoting Graham's webinar. That was it. I get a phone call from you. Within the first 5 minutes of our phone call, I was in a state where I was prepared to pay $50,000 to get an exchange of value from you. I was blown away. I've never been in such a high buying state and been so engaged with somebody who I thought was a PAYG, bottom of the food chain character. Within 5 minutes, I'm prepared to, you say jump, I'm how high? You could have said, "Dan, the investment's not 50,000, it's 500,000 and I would have made a few phone calls to find the money. So that's a bit of background which enticed me to need to have a conversation on a podcast with you. And what I'd like to achieve and my intention for this is to not just get one aha moment, but to get 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 that the viewers walk away and go, what the hell? I'm sold within 5 minutes. So that's my story. I'm going to let you take it from here and see where this goes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Both Sides Podcast.
Let's go. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I can only respond to a request. So fundamentally, I'm a guy who facilitates the deconstruction of obstacles that hold people back from achieving what they truly deserve to achieve. And I'm able to do that not by virtue of the fact that I'm anything brilliant or I'm, you know, possessed with some innate ability that is unique in society. I do that out of experience. I do that out of having walked the walk and being a particular analyst of everything that goes on in my own life, together with the interactions that I have with other people. And instead of forming a view of, well, that went well, or that didn't go well, or what could I have done differently, I take the view of, why did it turn out the way it did? And by doing that, I can approach any situation in a very non-judgmental, agnostic way and crystallize with the greatest of simplicity the formula for how to get specific outcomes, only by virtue of having, you know, in my life, being in the sales, marketing, advertising space all my life. And, you know, I'm behind it, all of Graham's marketing, ads, you know, and I do a lot of coaching and mentoring in a way of Graham. It's a real collaboration rather than a mentorship of being able to, through my experience, help Graham to facilitate the deletion of obstacles so that his audience can achieve the things that they dream they want to achieve, yet find so far away from where they are and where they find themselves in their current state. Does that make sense?
Yep. Mm. Makes sense. So have you been doing this for a large period of time or?
So I have been in this space since I was 18 years of age. I've never had a job in my whole life. I have been self-employed throughout my whole life. I've never set foot onto a university campus before. Mm. I don't have any formal education beyond school, but I have just been a master of observation, and which is driven by a genuine innate passion to add value. Mm. And where that comes from is I learnt at a very young age that there is no greater joy in anything that you can do. I don't care if it's sex, I don't care if it's love, I don't care if it's whatever it is. There is no greater sense of fulfillment and joy than that of adding value to someone else's life. And it's interesting, that was personified and I was reminded about it just the other day. You know, I went for a walk here with the dog, and I'm no Mother Teresa, I can assure you of that. There isn't that inside of me either, you know. However, I took the dog for a walk, and not far from here there's a tunnel under a railway bridge where there's some homeless people there, and it was quite cold that evening, and I saw a guy on a park, not on a park, on a camp stretcher under the tunnel, and his feet with no socks on are hanging out over the side. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what a contrast between where he lives and where I live. And I thought, what can I do for this person? Well, I'm not going to say, hey, buddy, I've got a spare bed at my house, why don't you come? I mean, he's there by virtue of his decisions that he's made in his life and the cards that he's been dealt. I'm not here to determine whether he made good choices or bad choices, but I can fundamentally see that there is somebody, you know, less well off than me. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to walk up to the local Woolies and just go and buy one of those, you know, those packaged sandwiches mm-hmm. with a peel off. I thought, I'm just going to go and buy a packet of that. And again, this isn't driven out of being charitable, right? It's just driven out of a sense of purpose. So I bought this sandwiches and I walked back and took them back to him. Now, I'm going to be moved when I tell you this, because it moved me to just hand that to that person and observe the smile in his face. Mm. Moved me like nothing else can move me. And that fundamentally underscores what I say all the time, is there is no greater sense of achievement, accomplishment, purpose, contribution, and adding value to someone else's life. And that forms the foundation of who I am. Mm. And my whole sense of purpose is driven around that. And what can't be overlooked here is it's very self-serving. It's because I know what I want. I know how I want to feel. Mm. I'm confronted with the challenges that anyone else is confronted with, the highs, the lows, the adulation, the depression, the all of it. And so if I can start out with a very clear, defined sense of purpose, it can permeate into all the things that I do each day to be the best version of me that I can. I coach and mentor some of the most successful, you know, people in the real estate, the mortgage and in the world. And, you know, I've been able to speak on stages in the States, in the UK, in Canada, in Australia, and I've met a lot of people. And each of them, perhaps in a presentation where I might speak to 3,000 or 4,000 people at a time, receives the exact same piece of information. Right? Now, we're all born with separate, you know, different skill sets. But fundamentally, like, we've all got relatively equal levels of good things and bad things in our makeup. Some people can run fast, some people can think quickly, some people can communicate well, some people can draw well. Do you know, each of us has a set of sub-skills. But there is a practical application to being able to leverage right, what it is inside of you that can see your way forward. There is a process. It is a pattern that is If you are an observer and you know what to look for, when you look in successful people, that pattern stands out like dog's balls, really. It's just it's just there. And do you remember when you went to school and you in, I don't know, year 10 or year 9, and you get introduced to those fucking pathetic, useless exercises where they go, fucking, here's a set of numbers. Now figure out the value of X,
yeah.
Right? Right, what's X? Like, who fucking cares what X is? But you know how you're taken through that process?
Yeah.
Where through a process of mathematical deduction, logical evaluation, I think X is 3. And you apply it to the formula, and because the end of the formula says 5, you go, yeah, X must be 3. There's a choice to implement. There's a process on how to do that. And if you follow that pattern and process time after time after time, it doesn't matter what the equation is, you'll get the answer right.
Mm.
And so I can talk to a lot of people. I can speak through this podcast. And, you know, if someone may be listening is going, I'm just trying to achieve this, but it just doesn't seem to be working. I missed out on that listing. I missed out on that sale. I didn't get that person over the line. Fundamentally, the reason is nothing to do with they're not good, nothing to do with they can't do it. They just don't understand the formula. Mm. And when you understand the formula and then implement, you'll achieve success. That's what Graham does.
Mm.
And that's what contributes to his outcome. He understands the process of that. And the formula is, you know where I said we talked about the sums at school equals 5? The other side of equals in our world is value, contribution to people's lives. Now, if you understand that is your goal and you can and you take time to ask questions to make a determination of what is value for that person, if you're in the sales or marketing or advertising field, you can create a construction where your conversation, without trying to sell anything, this is not a sale. This is... ask the question so you can figure out what the mathematical formula is, you know, what those numbers are, fill in the blanks. And when you get it and someone goes in their head, value, they'll say yes before you even do a pitch. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be me. It can be you. Just when you can crystallize, well, what that value is to them, and that only comes by investing in them, setting aside your biases, finding out about them.
Gotcha. So one question that I have for you, what did you say to Daniel that was repeat, or what was said to you that was repeated from the Graham home reel to you? What was it?
I can't remember. I'd have to, the exact word for word, I don't remember. I'll look at what reel went viral to give context. It was the one that got the 3 million. Just bear with me while I find it.
So while Daniel's doing that, Kevin, I'm curious because I don't know much about you,
yes,
for instance. And we can simulate this.
Yes.
Okay? We can simulate. So if you're a realtor,
yes,
and you're going, I earn 100 grand, but I want to earn 500 grand.
Yep.
Right? Or I earn 500 grand and I want to earn 2 million. Or I'm earning 2 million and I want to earn 8 million. Right? The obstacle, I guarantee, that's holding you back is a lack of clarity, not a lack of work ethic, not a lack of, you know, willingness to make it happen. It's a lack of clarity. Now, invariably, each of us have, and I'll explain this in a moment, but each of us have this dynamic in our head. We have dominant voices in our head. I'm not saying that you have some sort of mental illness where you hear things that aren't there. I'm talking about we have dialogue going on in our head all the time.
Mm.
What we must understand is As human beings, we're emotional. We are an emotional... Every decision you make starts as an emotive decision, starts as a feel. You know, I talked to you about earlier about what it is that you wanted to achieve, and you talked about, you know, bigger home, right? Now, you don't actually... It's not the bigger home. It's what the bigger home will make you feel, right?
True.
So... We all have voices in our head that helps us identify, one, what we'd really like. Two, a louder voice is, here's the reason why you don't have it. And then the louder voice that can dominate is, you don't deserve that, right? All the time, all the time, all the time. And so the biggest war you have in accomplishing what you want to achieve is the battle of your own self. You know, people talk about, I need to learn to get out of my own way. I mean, it's hard to understand what that actually means, but what that means is, and it's almost an affliction, the more intelligent you are, the louder that dominant voice that says you can't will be, invariably. You know, you will overthink things. You will find yourself in thinking loops that keeps repeating an evaluation of a given circumstance over and over again, only to come up with the same answer. And you go, why am I ruminating when I've already processed this thought so many times, yet I'm expecting to come up with an answer because I can't? And the problem is a lack of clarity. Now, if you can understand how you work, you can understand how other people work. And so just back to the point about, you know, you were talking about, I want a bigger home, and I was asking before we kicked off, well, why, what is it? Okay? And our desires come from unfulfilled emotional needs. Whether that makes you feel, hey, by having the bigger house, I drown out that voice, right? That's not even my voice, that was put there by someone who didn't even know what they were talking about when I was young. And has stayed with me and is so loud I find it hard to defeat. I need to accomplish that to defeat the voice, right? That's why I need that. Okay, so when you can understand we're all like that.
Yeah.
And we all have needs that fundamental... Because when you were born, you didn't need anything. I mean, yes, you needed nurturing, but, Kevin, you're you. Do you know what I mean? You're unique. You didn't... You know, you weren't born a depressed person. You weren't born an anxious person necessarily. You weren't born a demanding person. You were born unique as you. You happen to be a driven personality that has a unique desire to obtain what you believe you need. Right? Now, yes, you can look and go, well, I've got a nice house now. Why do I want something? Because you need to fulfill, right? Attributes about you, voids inside you that will help you establish real meaning about who you are.
So it's not bad to use it as motivation.
Not at all. Yeah. It's fabulous, but understand why it's there and make sure, right, make sure, because the penalty is great if you are trying to serve the purpose of eliminating a voice that shouldn't even be there in the first place, that's fucking wrong from the start, because you will accomplish it and you will not feel the reward because you've done it for them.
When you does say that make sense? It does make sense, and I'm going through with a psychologist at the moment, going through past childhood stuff, which is really interesting that we're talking about it now. But when you say that you were trying to fill a void, if you're trying to chase them, whatever it may be, and you're saying it's come from a younger age. Now, I think personally, and this is what I've thought for a while now, is the reason why I'm so driven to do or to want the better things is I dated a partner when I was quite young for 4 years. The partner had a billionaire uncle, and I essentially lived some parts of a billionaire life for a period. Now, obviously, I don't date that girl anymore. Now, I've stuck in this mindset of I've seen what the other side looks like, and I've seen what life looks like with that sort of availability to freedom, and that's now what I want. Not essentially that's all I need, but that's what I'd look at and I go...
Well, let me help you reframe that. You say it's not fundamentally what I need.
Mm.
Well, let me tell you why it is what you need.
Mm.
Let's just take it off the table. Imagine I'm God and going, nah, sorry, mate, you will never get that. How will that leave you feeling? Never. Can't. No.
Well, what's the point?
Do you feel lacking in something if I imagine took
lack
you
of
there?
Purpose, I guess.
Did, like it'd annoy you.
Well, it's just like, what am I doing this for?
That's right. So it is a need. And you see where Dan was talking about this process of clarity, yet we have these noise of these primary, secondary and third voices in our head. Mm. Like, who put that there in your head? Because it's not your voice that says, it's not what I need, it's what I want. Who put that there? That's there simply because someone's told you at some point in time in your life that it's okay to just, you know, be happy with what you've got.
Yeah.
You know, be happy with what you've got.
Yeah.
You know.
I've heard that a lot.
And that comes from somebody who is very unhappy with what they've got. Let me tell you, I guarantee you that. Now, we must understand, I mean, you look, I don't know whether you guys go to gyms or whatever, but you would understand that strength comes from resistance, right? Strength, you cannot build muscle without strength. You cannot build a strong mind without meeting with challenges, etc. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so if you go back to your situation of needing rather than wanting and accepting it's a need, but understanding why it is a need, the clarity and sense of purpose about getting that sooner rather than just when it happens, because I'm thinking I just got to toil away here and work 40 hours a day or a week or 80 hours a week, whatever you think you need to do that. If you understand why you need that, all of a sudden you will reevaluate every single thing that you do every day because you will understand the significance of that purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense.
And so... do we slay the dragons in our mind from attaining the goal, or is there a process of slaying the dragon without going through a material process?
One of the major reasons why people never achieve their dream and are left wanting all the time and deflated and defeated and unable to grasp, you know, clear perspective about the things that don't go their way, because let's face it, not everything goes their way. One of the reasons why is the noise inside of their head, right? From the sponge that is our brain in listening and all of that sort of stuff, right? But if we put this into perspective, and I appreciate that some people aren't born with their wherewithal. So there are exceptions to the rule, but fundamentally we're all born with an ability to solve every single problem that you encounter. So the question that needs to be asked is, how long is it going to take me to solve that problem? Okay, and then we get into things like, well, what am I actually doing, right, in my day-to-day life to get that house, you know, to hit that KPI I've got in my head, to accomplish those things. Right, and the biggest challenge that confronts us is, how hard do we want to make this for ourselves? In other words, this is why, I mean, how common is it that you look at somebody, you might work with them and you go, this person is actually possessed with more skills and ability than I have, yet they quit this close to them achieving their success. Why did they quit? They fundamentally quit because they didn't understand how important their goal was. And if you can gain clarity about why you have that goal, you develop an important part of the equation, which is grit.
Mm.
Grit. Grit. Grit comes from having a sense of purpose, right? Now, anything that's extraordinary, right, that you want to achieve, right, must be the byproduct of grit. Nothing comes easy. you know, otherwise everyone would have it. Do you know what I mean? So how much grit is there involved in just going to Woolies and doing a weekly grocery shop? Like most people get to do that because it doesn't require a lot of grit, right? However, if you want to really be one of the exceptional people because it's important to you, one, understand why it's important to you. Give yourself a sense of purpose, right? I bet you it's couched in, I want to add value. I want to contribute, right? Then when you understand the clear purpose, you develop a sense of grit, right, which keeps you adhered to the task. And then you get the chance to really evaluate, okay, so how long do I want to keep putting out this grit because that takes a lot of energy, right? Mm. I can bring my goals much closer. I can make them bigger when I start simplifying what I'm doing, you know? Like,
can you give me an example?
When I'm selling. I'll give you a really practical example. I'm presuming there's lots of sales people in the sales business who are listening to this podcast right now, okay? And, well, let's start with you, Kevin. You have a sales script. You would have a listing script.
Yes.
Right? You tell me, how do you get a listing? Like, let's not worry about the referral. Let's worry about a listing that you instigate by your own activity and energy.
Yeah, so when I'm actually in the listing appointment and I win it?
No, no, no. Let's come back before that.
Okay.
You think to yourself, fuck me, I don't have a big enough house. I need a bigger house, so therefore I got to get more listings.
Door knocking, cold calling.
Okay, so you start door knocking,
yeah,
right? And you knock on a door, not every door opens, not every time everyone's home, etc., right? But you think about, okay, now, if you had to bullet point to an end goal, what the objective is, before your hand or your finger pressed the doorbell or your hand hit the knocker or whatever, what's the end outcome before you start? What is the ultimate goal crystallized in one sentence?
Find a seller that's willing to list their property with me.
No.
No?
No, wrong. That's not your goal.
Buy the house.
No. Isn't your goal, yes, I'll list with you?
Yes.
Isn't that it?
Yes.
Isn't that why you're doing what you're doing? Now, can you see the disparity between what you think your goal is and the clarity of what the goal is? What is your goal? You said to find someone who wants to sell. No, no, no. Your goal is, yes, I'm going to list with you. That's your goal, really, right? Because can you imagine? So how do we develop this clarity? We develop this clarity by going, remove the obstacles. What is the absolute ideal outcome I'm seeking to obtain? Okay, so if you were door knocking down the street, let's take away all the noise, right? When you said to that person, assuming you've had a conversation with them, okay, catch you soon, like, what's the ideal outcome that you want will have wanted to have happened? Describe it to me.
Yes, I'll sell your house. Right. Yes, I'll list with you.
Okay. Yeah. Where do I sign? That sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Ideal.
Ideally, yes.
In one appointment, two, five, ten?
In one appointment, ideally.
Okay. Ideally, or why do you allow yourself scope? So ideally, not ideally, yes, in one appointment. Now, you might be looking at me and go, Mark, have you ever sold real estate before? Fuck me, there are people out there who say, hey, I had George from down the road and, man, he told me I can sell your house for twice what you're telling you. Man, you're thinking, Mark, you don't know any of this, you know. Hey, you haven't been in my shoes. No, that's noise. Think about your objective in clarity. I need that person. At the end of this appointment, my ideal target, optimized target is in one appointment, whether it's practical or not, we can consider in a moment, one appointment to say, yes, what's my next steps?
Yes.
Is that not what you want to hear?
Correct.
Right. What's my next steps? That's what you're optimizing for, not I'm looking for a listing. Need someone who says to me, Kevin, what's my next steps? And so I didn't avoid the question you asked earlier where you said, what did I say to Dan to make that sale? I didn't make any sale, right? That's the next thing you must understand. If my starting point is to add value, I've got to end up in a situation where this person gets what they want. I've got to ask a series of questions so that at the end of the conversation, the person says, what?
Fucking, I'm going with you.
Or what's my next steps?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to think backwards from that point and go, well, what is it that I can do that orchestrates that outcome? Now, if you think about when you're selling, the ideal situation is you want the person that you're pitching to, right, your service, your offer, your product, whatever it is, to feel stupid if they say no. Do you know what I mean? So you have to formulate an offer that is so good it leaves the person thinking, well, I'd be stupid to say no to that. Okay? So there's a sense of purpose. So what is it that I'm saying in my series of lines that I think I'm great because I've got a good listing presentation to do, right? Fuck that off, because that's getting you the result you're getting today. But surely it's foolish to think, well, if I keep doing the same thing, I'm going to get double the result. It takes changing the way you look at things. Do you know what I mean? It's like, these aren't my words, but there's some great words out there that says, you can't solve a problem using the same thinking that got you into the problem. You have to change. And so if you earn $3 million a year and you want to earn six, the problem is I don't earn six. So I must apply. I can't keep doing the same things that got me to three and not six. So back to your listing appointment, for instance. Surely if you want someone to say, yep, what's my next steps, right? You have to get them to feel as though, well, I'd be silly to say no to this offer, whatever I've said. So can you see how I'm building backwards? Now, I cannot afford myself, I don't give myself the opportunity to think constructively like that if I don't get rid of the noise and crystallise and think to myself, what's the ideal outcome?
Yeah.
Okay? So, one. And what need? And how do I know when I've got the ideal outcome? Because the person says, what's my next steps? Right? How do I get them to that? What's the step before that? I need to make them feel silly to not take up my offer. It's so good. Right? Well, what do I need to do that for that? The next thing you need to think about is, well, what's everyone else doing and saying, right? Because if I'm doing what everyone else does, then I'm really in a race to the bottom. That's it. I just am. Okay? The people who progress in life do not do what everyone else is doing. It is just a fact. It's a pattern. You know, they talk about success leaves clues. There's one of the clues that success leaves, right? The people who are successful do not do what everyone else does. They do something different, and they do something different because they think about it differently than everybody else, right? Now, this method of thinking that I'm taking you through is not reserved for the Einsteins above us. Because this is simply a formula. Remove the noise. Remove the voices. Remove what anyone else has spoken about, because you were born with the skills already to solve every problem that you're going to face, no matter how big it is. So back to the listing appointment, right? And you're thinking, okay, so the next step is I need... So what am I going to say to this person next, which is the step before... You know, making them feel, well, why wouldn't I go ahead? What am I going to say next? What's this next bit before that that has to be different to everybody else? Okay? Now, in any sales environment, I don't care whether you're selling widgets or real estate or legal services or accounting services or whatever it is, right? In any environment, people think if I can amplify the attributes of my proposition. You know, I'm just going to simulate an example. Dan here might be your competitive real estate agent seeking that listing, right? And Dan's gone, do you know what? We're available if you need to call us 7 days a week, right? Anytime from 9 to 5, you can ring me, okay? And you go, well, I need to present a better offer. Well, you can ring me anytime you like from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. That makes me better. And people think that making the sale is by presenting alternates that are better. Does that make sense? Let me show you why I'm better.
Mm.
Right? That's hard work.
Mm.
It's a race to the bottom. And what we have to face is there are some people that can run that race quicker than we can. Right? They might be have less constraints. They may maybe part of, a franchise organisation that restricts them from doing things, which makes it difficult to compete, right? But what they don't think about is what they can do, and what they can do is something anyone can do, right? So how do I get a person to be thinking, I'd be silly not to take up this offer. How do I do that? Well, I'm going to give them what they want.
Mm.
I'm going to give them what they want. How can I figure out what they want? How do I do that? Right? I can't anticipate what they want. I'm going to ask them what they want. Right? What they want. Now, remember, success leaves clues. Everything's a formula. This applies in general terms to most human beings. Most human beings can articulate in words what they don't want.
Mm.
It is very easy.
Yeah, okay.
When we were speaking earlier, Kevin, I was saying, talk to me about this big house. You couldn't tell me what it looked like. Because most human beings can't articulate in words what they do want. Because what they do want is couched in an emotion. Now, here's the problem with that. For our brains to work and solve problems, our brains need words. Our brains need labels. Our brains need images. Our capacity to dream, right, is couched in words, labels, images, all right? Not just feeling. Right, so if your problem of what you want is just a feeling, I want a bigger house, and you can't articulate what that looks like, you do not empower your brain to function, right, with the words, labels and pictures that it needs. Now, you know, you'll have sales trainers that write down your goals and stick them up on your fridge, you know, and do this, like, there's no magic in that. Like, just doing that action does not do anything. The reason why writing your goals down is it allows your brain to think and to order and to problem solve. That's why. You know, people faced with significant trauma and who suffer post-traumatic disorder, for instance, if you think about it, and I'll just give you this context, which will help make sense of what I'm talking about. Like, people who are traumatized and who live with a trauma, they live with emotion, an emotion. It's a feel. It's a feel. Like, something happened to you when you were young that was significant, right? Mm. I know that inside of you. Now, you can't label that for me in words. You might be able to tell me a story, but you will struggle to put labels around what you're feeling. Mm. It's a thing, isn't it? It's an intangible thing. And let me tell you, you carry that thing everywhere. It's a thing, right? This is, and, you know, for the most of us are fortunate. For instance, most of us would have no idea what it would be like to be exposed to a theatre of war where you see your best friend step on a landmine. Mm. But the impact of that is a thing. Mm. And people are left with these traumas that they cannot rationalise out without words. And just like your goals, I want a bigger house or anything, if you don't crystallise and label, your brain can't figure out the process to resolve. So wanting something and not accomplishing it is almost like post-traumatic stress disorder or a trauma-related thing, because it's gnawing at us all the time. It's holding us back. So how does this relate to selling? Mm. To fulfill your goals, you must label things. To be able to be a great real estate agent and get that listing, right, you've got to label things like what's the ideal outcome? Mm. What do they need to say? So what do I need to say to get them to that? Now, we talked about giving when people have got what they want. And, like, if you wanted this pen, just if you want, grab it. Grab it. Just grab, come on, grab it. Right, when someone wants something, look what they do. Does that make sense? They will reach out and grab it. I didn't put it in his hand. Does that make sense? Because he wants it. So when you said, what did you do to sell Dan? I didn't do anything. Mm. But I understood what he wanted, right, by asking questions. Now, when you ask, go for a listing appointment, I imagine you're going to say, so you're going to ask some questions around what do you want. I bet you that's, what sort of money do you want for this house? How often do you ask that question?
Every appointment.
It's a shit question to ask. Seriously, it's a shit question to ask.
Why?
Right? Well, okay, if I'm, let's simulate this. I'm going to show you why it's a shit question to ask compared to another question you could be asking, right? Mm. Let's simulate this for a minute. So, Kevin, I'm the guy selling my home, right? You've done the listing. I opened the door. You have been to the Mark Blundell School of, you know, structuring a sales approach so that you can get someone to a point where they go, okay, what's my next step?
Mm.
And you're listing this appointment with me, and you get to that question that says, so how much money are you looking for? I'm not saying don't ask the question. Mm. I'm just saying it's a shit question.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there are better ones to ask.
Not if I ask them what they think it's worth. Is that the same thing?
No. But all of those things fundamentally are important pieces of data.
Mm.
But hang on. You're optimizing for that. We want this person to get what they want so that they go, what's the next step?
Mm.
Right. So I might go, you might ask me that question, Kevin, and I'm going to go, I want $500,000 for my home. Right? I want 500 grand. To which you're going to go, fuck, this guy's a dreamer, or I could get that, or it's going to be a bit of a struggle. That number will mean something to you.
Mm.
Right? Why didn't I say 550? Why didn't I say 600?
I'm not sure.
Why? That's correct, because you know nothing about me. You didn't ask the right question.
Mm.
Right? Does that make sense? So what if you ask me a question of something like this? Mark, obviously, you know, getting the most amount of money is, you know, we don't even have to talk about that being the objective, you know, within a time frame. We don't want this property sitting on the market for 10 years.
Mm.
Right. So we've got to, I would imagine, understand that we want to get the most amount of money we can for this home in a acceptable time frame. But putting all that aside for a minute, tell me what it looks like for you. Mm. Right? What needs to happen for you to have a feeling of, gee, it was a great decision that I made to give that property to whoever to sell?
It's a good line.
So tell me what that looks like. Now, you know what? They won't know the answer exactly. Mm. So I'm going to reverse role play here and go, Kevin, I know there'll be a number that you want, et cetera. I just want to know clearly. Tell me what it looks like for you. What needs to happen for you to get this feeling of, thank goodness I listed it with, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with me, with that person over that person, because?
Oh, if I got the money that I'm after, which is 500 grand.
Well, that's what you need. Right? But tell me, assuming you did, how would that change your life?
Oh, it means I can go buy the house I've dreamed of buying.
Right. And what's so important about that house?
Oh, my kids, like, I can give them a better life. They're not in an apartment anymore. They've got a backyard and all that sort of stuff.
Why is that important? Like, this is a nice place. Mm. What doesn't this place give you?
It doesn't give me the flexibility to have my kids in a backyard. They're just trapped inside.
Got it. And so how does that play out in a day-to-day sense? Like, how does that leave you feeling?
Oh, it makes my life easier. They can run around and tire themselves out easier. They'll be sleeping better.
Right.
Lots of things.
And so they don't have that here. How does that make you feel?
Oh, stressed.
Does it?
Stressed.
Why?
Do you think you'd ask that? Do you think you'd go that deep?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Well, how can I figure out what they want if I don't ask these questions?
Yeah, okay.
I'm investing in them.
Yeah.
You see? Because my focus is to give them what they want. So let's keep going on this.
Mm.
So how does that, you said stressed out. What do you mean by stressed out?
Just the kids. They don't sleep very well. I just think it would be better if they were running around, tire themselves out more instead of being stuck inside.
Right. To what, wake up at night?
I wake up through the night, yeah.
And what do they do?
Just takes longer to get them to sleep, all this sort of stuff. Restless.
What does that make you feel?
Oh, it just means I have to deal with more kids' drama.
Right. Does that affect you as a parent?
Oh, it affects my work. I'm a little bit more tired throughout the day.
Right.
Bits and pieces.
Are you saying productivity-wise?
Yeah, a little bit lower.
All of that sort of stuff. So that's really why you want to sell this house then. Because of that, really.
Yeah, okay.
So, and I don't know that I'm the person yet, okay? But assuming I was, and I'm assuming that, well, you tell me, if they had a backyard, you said they'd sleep better, I'm assuming you'd become more productive, right? So you're self-employed. So when you say more productive, do you mean you'd be able to earn more money?
Well, yeah, but as a byproduct.
Like in an ideal state, like how much more?
Well, hopefully an extra 50.
An extra 50,000 a year.
Yeah, I would love that.
Right. So realistically, this outcome is worth another $50,000 a year to you, plus you love your children, you want the best for them, you would feel better as a parent that you're able to provide them what they need, etc., right? So just let me ask you this question. What's the cost to you today of not being able to give them that?
Oh, $50,000 a year.
It's really quite a lot,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So if I was able to get you to that spot in the shortest possible time frame, being realistic, with the least amount of sacrifice for you. In other words, you didn't have to, you're not going to get a phone call from me at 11 o'clock at night going, I know you're asleep, but I've got someone that wants to come and check out you. Like, if I could get you that outcome in the shortest possible time, least amount of sacrifice, right? Right now, we're in April. Give me a month of the year that you'd like for that to be happening for you.
Yeah, well.
When would it be?
Yeah, it's a good close.
Tell me.
May.
May. Is that realistic? you'd be in this new house, looking out your kitchen window, seeing your kids.
Sorry. In terms of actually having moved into the house, August.
August.
Yeah.
Right. So today is April the 12th, 11th, 10th. I don't even know what date it is. But so if we were August the 10th.
Yeah.
And you're looking out your kitchen window and see the kids playing in the backyard, will you have accomplished your goal?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know of anyone else who can get that for you?
Well, I've still got to interview the two other agents.
That wasn't my question. Right. I said, do you know?
Not right now, no.
No, okay. So you can take it or leave it as to whether I'm telling you the truth or you disbelieve me about this. But I can understand just the gravity and weight that's on your shoulders right now in wanting to make this decision. It's costing you $50,000, right? So one would assume that if it didn't happen till October, November, December, the cost is even greater.
Mm.
Emotional cost, worry cost, and all of that. And right now you're in a situation where you don't have anyone that can solve this problem.
Mm.
Right. Now, you can take me on face value or not. I don't know. But I want to tell you I can solve it.
Mm.
I can tell you I can solve it. And the reason why I know is I have solved this exact problem over and over and over again for people. That's why I've taken the time to understand what's important for you.
Yeah. Strong.
Now, if I could do that for you and show you how I am going to do it, and presuming it was acceptable, is there any reason why you wouldn't go, I'll do it?
No. Yeah, they close themselves.
You see that?
Yeah.
Now, that only comes from the work we did at the beginning where we said, what's the ideal outcome? Now, let's keep going with this.
Mm.
Presumably, through social proof, through evidence, through the fact that I've got a good offer, I'm a good operator, I know what I'm doing, and I demonstrate that, I tick all the boxes, and overcome the objection. Guess what they say next?
What's the next steps?
There you go. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And
it does.
So when it comes to selling and marketing and achieving your goals, just think this. Kevin, you're a very successful real estate agent. You're one of the best in the country, right? But you are not hitting where you'd like to be. Yes, you're doing well. Yes, you're probably hitting the goals you've set. But can you see you have set your goals too low?
Yeah.
You could have that house now. You could be in that house today. If we go back all the last year of listing appointments and you did exactly what I've just told you. You think of the ones you missed.
My listing ratio would be higher, yes, definitely.
You think about the cost associated of not having approached it this way.
Yes, I do.
It's expensive, isn't it?
Very.
Okay, so when you look at scenarios like this, is there anything I did that you couldn't do?
Not at all.
Okay, do you know all I did that's different to you? I put the interests of the person at the top of the pedestal. That's it. I took time to care because you know what I want? I didn't finish the story about the sandwich and the guy. And I said, there is no greater value. I got sidetracked there, but let me circle back there. When I came back and gave the sandwich back to the guy, the smile that radiated from his face instilled in me a feeling that brought tears to my eyes. It just was like, I am so fulfilled for having done that.
Mm.
Right? Now, I will get the same smile out of my customers when I help them to get what they want. And just like the guy who's cold on the street wants a sandwich because it makes a difference to him. If I invest my energies and time and just become non-judgmental and take a genuine interest in what the other person wants and understand what is the price they're paying for not having what they want and need, and facilitating that, then I miss out on doing the things I need to do to get them what they want. Because everyone has, in a sales environment, everyone is scripted. You know, let's come back to just being blanket-minded and just doing what that real estate guy says that goes, hang on, knock on the door and say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Vendor, are you interested in this or that? Like, get out of that groove. Right? Because you're paralyzing yourself from your own skill set in achieving what you want. Start focusing on not your script, on them. Focus. Ask questions. What does it mean to you if? What does it mean to you not having? Right? If I could, let me show you how I can, and crystallize their dream for what they want. In the process, remember I said most people know what they don't want and they focus on that? Well, the objective's about getting people what they want. So steer the conversation in that way. Help them to visualize by asking them, what does it look like when you get there? Tell me what that looks like for you. What does it mean for you? And then tell them, I can get that for you with the greatest of confidence, because you know you've got a great offer, great service. You know, you've got the skills to be able to help people get what they want.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Wowie. It's a good close.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use it today. I'm going to use it in 4 hours of my next listing appointment.
And wow. That is the secret to achieving anything you want. When you have that power, grit becomes easy. Because you know it's just like that quadratic equation that you got at school, because now you understand what the value of X is, right? And you then just focus on doing that. Just focus on doing that. So when I start my appointment, I already have visualized the end. I know what I need the person to say. I don't go and go, yeah, let's see how this goes. I just play it by ear.
Yeah.
Right? How often do we do that, huh? No. Everything has to be done with a sense of purpose, a sense of clarity, a sense of... And let me tell you, when you're serving customers and people in this way, the sense of purpose and meaning that you acquire for yourself delivers such a state of accomplishment within you.
I agree.
Can you run me through the rest of the formula that includes the formula of grit? So if the outcome is value, a sense of fulfillment towards the end, and you said one of the parts is grit, what's the rest of that equation?
Well, setting aside what you want to start, understanding that one of the key formulas is I get what I want when I help people to get what they want, right? So you understand that. So you may be under extraordinary financial pressure thinking to yourself, my gosh, I need this sale. I desperately need this sale, but I don't want to come across, you know, with looking desperate, right? Well, you won't need to if you just focus on what they want. You'll get what you want, right? So understanding that's an important part. I get what I want when I help people to get what they want. Now, the second consideration also is, well, maybe people don't want stuff. Maybe how do I decipher as to even whether I'm investing time and energy in the right person, in the right customer? Like, why spend all this time having a conversation if the outcome that I was seeking was never available before I opened my mouth? Like, if somebody doesn't want to participate in that conversation with you, like, they're the wrong person for you. Now, I'm going to I'll tell you something which is going to be very profound. You think about the best customers that you've ever dealt with, right? The best customers, the one where just like perfect outcome, easy to deal with. When I said, hey, I think we should do this, or that we needed to pivot or something like that, they didn't question. They looked at you as the professional you are and took your lead. No questions, just yes, what do you need me to do? You think about those customers.
Yeah, right? I always get the best result.
Always. For you and them, correct?
Mm. Correct.
Right. It's the ones that want to question your integrity, your skills, your ability, that want you to measure up to everybody else, how this, how that. You will create, in a cluttered market where everyone is saying the same thing over and over and over and over again, all right, it is inevitable that if you take an interest in somebody, you create the most powerful, unique selling proposition that you can create, even in an environment where everyone looks the same. To start with, one. Two, think about who you want to attract into your business. Who are the customers? Just because someone has, if you're going the real estate example, just because someone has a big red sticker on their forehead that says, I'm looking to sell, doesn't make them the ideal customer. And so there is a series of steps that you need to decide before you start, right? When you're going looking for that listing, where you need to go, well, what are the essential ingredients that need to be incorporated, that must exist in order to obtain the ideal outcome? Because if they're not there at the start, I'm not going to get the end result, so why invest in it? Does that make sense? It's a bit like, you know, imagine going to Woolies or Coles and grabbing a cake mix, right, off the shelf, and on the front of this box there's the picture of the beautiful chocolate cake with the icing and all of that, and you go home and go and make the cake and it says use 2 eggs and you go, I don't have eggs, so I just won't use them. Mm. What's the likelihood of ending up with a result that looks like the cake on the box?
Unlikely.
Zero, right? So if it's not there to start, don't start. And so one other error that people make, right, because they don't eliminate the noise, is go, what must exist? Mm. Now, if I meet with a person in any sales pitching process that doesn't want to answer these questions, it's like the 2 eggs not existing in the cake mix, right? Very quickly I'll withdraw and I'll go, okay, I don't think I can help you, right? Because I'm optimizing my time and theirs. I'm valuing my time, right? Now, very few people know how to do this, right, or ever do it. Can I just ask a question and can you tell me, how much money did you earn last year?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't even know.
Okay, no. Can we just pick any number that might be close? Just for this example.
A few hundred grand.
Like what? What number? Give me a number and we'll just go through this exercise. Just put a number that might be...
350?
Okay, let's say 350,000, right? Okay, how many weeks of the year did you work?
Probably took off 7 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Okay.
So you've worked 45 weeks of the year?
45.
Okay. How many hours a week do you generally work?
I'd say 10 hours a day for 6 days a week.
Dan, I need you to 60? Do some maths for me. Hey? Yeah.
60 hours.
60 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
60 hours. What's your hourly rate? What's your answer? What is it?
I did this calculation.
Do you know what it? Do you know what it is?
I don't know.
Okay, let's park that thought for 1 minute, right? Imagine this. Imagine you're on the bones of your backside. Like the business that you were in has taken more out of you than, you know, what it gave back. And you think to yourself, I just need to chill. I just, and no disrespect to shop assistants. I just want a cool, just cruisy job. Working 9 to 5 as a shop assistant, right? And let's just say you go online or wherever and you come across an ad for your local 7-Eleven, hypothetically, and it says shop assistant required, 9 to 5, contact Fred and you apply, and the guy gets on the phone. He says, yeah, Dan, come in and we'll have a chat, right? And you come in for the job interview and he goes, mate, you've got the job, right? We start at 9, finish at 5, morning tea's from 10:30 to 10:45, lunchtime's from 1 till 2. You can have another break at 3:30 to 4:15, you knock off at 5. Your duties are to serve at the counter, stock the shelves, keep the toilets clean, make sure there's toilet paper, blah, 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 and you start tomorrow. Do you have any questions? What's your first question?
What's the hourly rate?
And what if I said, pardon? And you said?
What's the hourly rate?
And imagine my response was, oh, hey, mate, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it for you and just come, mate. We'll look after you. Are you coming tomorrow?
What the fuck?
You are not coming tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
Guaranteed?
Yeah.
Right. If I was totally evasive. Now, here's the thing that amazes me about people. You would not take that job unless you knew that number. Yet, we work for ourselves. We're self-employed. We're commissioned salespeople. And none of us can answer that question. So while we're working for someone else, it's okay, right? It's okay to, hey, have a formula in our head that says, I will not work unless I know I'm getting X per hour. Yet we work for ourselves or on commission or whatever. And it goes, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. What's that?
Mm.
Because if you don't know that number, how do you can you look back at everything you're doing and go, is it worthwhile? Is what I'm doing right now giving me the hourly rate that I need to get if I want to earn, go from 350 to $1 million.
Mm.
Right? It completely changes the evaluation process of what are we doing every single day. Is this getting me closer to my goal or is it doing nothing? And so therefore, if we don't have that outcome, we get caught doing things that do not take us closer to our goal. Let's get T-shirts made. Oh, I'll get some business cards made. Or, I might make a website. Or when fundamentally what makes you money, the key payoff task are talking to people, right? If you're not talking to people, you are diluting your hourly rate. Mm. That's it. Now, if I was in this listing appointment, and I bear in mind, with respect, I've never sold real estate before, so I don't know. Tell me something.
Yes.
If I did some door knocking, right, and imagine I had no business card, right, no business card, do you think I'd be able to pull off that appointment?
Be a bit tricky.
Me, personally.
Yes, it would be difficult.
Would be difficult?
It would be more difficult than if you did have a business
Why?
Card. Because it... they don't know what brand you're with. They don't know who you are.
Why is that important?
I think if you're going to sell your biggest asset, you want to do it with someone that's reputable.
What's my biggest asset?
Your house, your property.
Right. Okay. And you want to sell it with someone that's reputable?
Correct.
How do I establish reputation?
Having a look at their past previous results.
Great. Have you ever been on a date before, Kevin?
Yes.
Right. Have you ever been on a date with someone like for the first time where you don't really know much about this person, but someone you do know knows about this person?
Yes.
Yeah? Ever been that? Oh, she's... presuming this person's a female, right? Oh, she's a really nice girl. You really, really like her. She's interesting. She's positive. She does this. She does that. Mm. Right? And you go on the date and it's everything except any of the things that person told you. Have you ever been on one of those?
I actually haven't, no.
Okay, but imagine, that happens, right? It's just like, mate, I thought you said she's this. Did you know? Blah, 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 she told me this, for heaven's sake. Right? That happens.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you establish brand? How do you establish that partner is that person that I went on the date? She's not my type.
You have to go through it.
Experience.
Yeah.
Did she need a business card? Did she need to come with a brochure? Did she need to come with a website for you to form that judgment?
If there,
that's not a good fit.
I personally, if I don't know who this person is, I probably would form a better... Me personally, I don't think I'd form as strong of an opinion on that person unless I had that proof, if I don't know who this person is.
Say that again.
So if I don't know who this person is, yes, and I know that they, I don't know or not aware of them selling in this area, they come to the property with no business card, no social proof, no proof of anything, I don't know if I'd necessarily buy into that.
Now, I didn't... Don't forget the bit that I said where we got in the sales pitch where I said, I can show you how I can get you that result, Mr. or Mrs. Vendor, and we give them all of that. I'm saying, if I didn't have the business card, could I have not done that listing, was my question.
Yeah, okay. You could do it without the business card, technically.
That's
right.
That's a complete reversed answer to what you said earlier on.
Yeah. So, I mean, getting in the door. I don't know if I'd let someone in the door to even pitch if there was no social proof.
Got it.
I should have been more clear.
Got it. Yeah. So, fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Really?
I don't believe that that's true.
Yeah, okay.
That's a paradigm. That's what I believe true is your perspective.
Yeah.
Let me defunct the perspective. Do you have my business card?
No.
Have you looked at my website?
No.
Okay. Why have you given up so much of your time talking to somebody? And have you enjoyed or benefited from this interview?
I have benefited. Okay. I have enjoyed.
Have you learned something?
I have learned something.
And you're going to implement in 4 hours' time.
Yes.
Don't need a business card. What I'm trying to say to you is we create these obstacles that are just crap.
Yeah, I get that.
It's simplified, right? Every sale, every pitch is built on developing a relationship. I don't need crutches to give you the most truthful version of me that I can, which is me talking to you, right? Nothing can augment or heighten your perceptions and conclusions about me than what's coming out of my mouth and my own behavior. There is nothing. I'm giving you the pinnacle of all that there is. Yet people look for reasons why I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't. And I'm going, no. Sales are made out of conversations, right?
True.
The phenomenal success that Graham gets is he understands that. He has a webinar that, you know, I run all the marketing and advertising and write his ads, right? And back in January, 9,000 people registered for his webinar. Doesn't come from they got a business card. It doesn't come from they went to his website. They just saw a video of him talking and responded. Right. Now, video and us talking, your reels or whatever, is just that one step removed from being present in the flesh.
Yeah, okay. So would you suggest for any business, whether it's a real estate agent, a lawn, someone doing lawns, whatever it may be, that get a camera, put yourself in front of the camera, I've seen the ad, and talk about your key points of difference or how they can help you or how it'd be silly not to use their business? And just them talking and then sponsor those ads? Is that what you'd be doing?
So if you were to create, you'll see so much video content online doesn't work. You look at the ratio between the number of ads that you see appear in your social feeds and if you were able to versus if you were able to interview each of the people who paid for those ads and said, did you get the desired outcome, you will find that only 2% of them work. 2% of people who spend money, maybe 3%, of social media, on social media, on ads, actually get a return on investment, right? I know this because I got invited into the head offices of Meta here in Sydney because a lot of the campaigns that I, social media campaigns that I create for customers around the world are some of the most successful converting campaigns. And once again, they convert because they follow a formula. Mm. And the formula is sound, right? Now, Kevin, you put forward, well, if I put forward my points of difference, is that what you said?
Points of difference, or give them a... give them an offer that's that'd be hard to say no to.
Okay, so what would that need to comprise?
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, solving a problem.
Mm.
Right? Start with the problem. What is the problem? You see, for everybody, right, that you're pitching to, your target market, right, your targeted avatar, if we could create a descriptive picture of what's happening in their world, they are in a present position, they have a desired position, and there is an obstacle in the way of them being in their desired position. Do you agree?
Correct.
Right. If that obstacle wasn't there, where would they be? In their desired position, obviously. In other words, they'd have done it themselves. So the first question to ask is, well, why haven't they done it themselves? That represents the obstacle or the problem. Why haven't they? Don't know where to start, don't know what to do, worried about being worse off than when I started. If I spend this money, am I going to get the outcome I want? I'm not sure of the questions I need to ask. All represent the problem. And so the real has to be about addressing the obstacle. Not, do you know what? I've been in this business for X amount of time and I do this, because that's all about you. Make it about them, right? Do you go to bed at night lying at the ceiling worried about your kids not having somewhere to play? That's a great start to a reel. Does that hook your target audience? Instantly, bang. So every ad or reel must have hook. Hook. You've got a nanosecond to capture someone's attention while they're scrolling through their social media feed. Why are you going to get them? How are you going to get them to stop to look at your reel? The only reason why is triggering inside of them. That's me. I can relate to that. Fuck, I've got that problem. I know what it feels like. Blah, blah, blah. He's speaking my language, right? Do you go to bed at nights worried that your children don't have a place to play?
Yeah.
What's the answer in their head?
Yes.
Okay. What's the answer in their head? I'm this area's number one agent, and we just recently sold this property for X, so that if you're listing your property for, like, does that person stop on that ad?
No.
Do you get what I'm saying? So every reel and video that you create, if you go back to look at Graham's ads, you will see uniquely they follow this formula. Hook. Hook addresses the problem. First thing, what is the problem for this person? What are they feeling? What are they processing? Hook. Story. What does that problem, or how does that problem permeate in their life? Right? Story. Right? Then it'll go through to twist, which is the opposite of the story. So, you know, does it bring you down? Your kids know it. What if there was the backyard? You could look out the kitchen window, seeing how much joy. So twist, right? Then call to action. Now, that person will feel like you're talking to them. That's what makes a video engaging. And, of course, there are elements, three elements, the three E's that we've got to think about. We've got to think about entertaining. It's got to be entertaining first. Like, if it's not entertaining, then it's not. So entertainment must precede everything, right? How do you make things entertaining? Well, don't stand there with your camera looking at it like that, because it's not entertaining. At worst, walk while you're talking. If you're doing a selfie, spin. Right? Let the background move, right? Have colour in the background. Animate yourself. Do not try and be the newsreader. Be yourself. Laugh. Frustrate. You know, think that you're talking to one person.
Yeah.
Right? When you're talking to a camera, okay, and speak to their purpose, not yours, right? Speak to their problem. So entertain, right? Engage. How do you engage them? Well, talk about their problem. Right, tell me a little bit about you, right? People are happy to talk about themselves, right? And how do you, you know, so engage, right? And then educate. Three things all the time. If you think about that, that all of these things are just practical formulas. Now, here's the interesting thing. There's nothing I've told you across this whole podcast that you didn't already know. We've just simplified it, which is where we started in your opening, Dan.
Love it. So there's a question here that you've written down that I wanted to ask. So you've spoken about prioritizing productivity over happiness. Can you share a specific instance where this philosophy guided a critical decision or project, and how did this approach lead to positive outcomes?
Okay, well, it's naive to think that anything worth achieving does not come with resistance.
Yeah.
And invariably, we're all human. We all have a breaking point. We all have a moment in time where you go, I just need to walk away for a moment at least, right? It's just intense. It's hard. It's not going away. It's fucking with your head, all of those sorts of things. And maybe you're visiting this problem, right, not in the best frame of mind that you can be, because you got other shit going on. Do you know, your dog won't poo in the right spot, or you know, your kids have lost their shoes at school, or whatever it might be, right? We all have dramas going on in our lives, right? And if you can appreciate this, right, that the way, notwithstanding the fact that things like clinical depression and other mental health issues are very, very real. On a generalized scale, each of us go through moods of up and down, right? We feel moods of happiness and then we come down, we feel that. And this is just the oscillation of just being a human being. There is no one who is up here. And anyone who is up here has this incredible veneer of protecting something they would rather not share with you, right? All the time, if they're up there, okay? Because this is human nature, right? So that's the first thing. So in understanding that, I understand that I cannot always be happy. So to optimize for an outcome that's not available to me is going to leave me unhappy. Does that make sense? Oh, I feel so flat. Fuck, I'm not getting the listings. How am I going to meet budget? How am I going to make that payment? How am I going to go on that holiday, that vacation, that what? How am I going to... Like, all of those things are normal thoughts that produce negative emotions inside of us. So what's the point for optimizing, to optimize for an outcome that is unobtainable? In other words, constant happiness. You can have contentment, right? But you know what? If you're driving home on the M2 and you get a flat tire in the middle of, you know, peak hour traffic, you are not going to be content. So you can't even optimize for constant contentment even. Do you know what I mean? But what can you do? Well, we work, right? So if you optimize for productivity, the byproducts become happiness and contentment. Right? Optimize for productivity. So instead of making an analysis of, am I feeling happy today? Am I feeling sad today? Do I feel like crap today? And going, well, I'm going to focus on those, how bad I feel, because I'm optimized for the opposite. Right? Forget that. Think about, am I being productive? Because when you optimize for productivity, it doesn't matter whether you're up or down. Right? True. It accepts that I may not be up and I may not be down. Now, have you guys ever been to work where you feel like I've got the flu or I've got something, and it's just like I feel like crap, but I just have to peel myself off my bed and get to work, and it's the last thing I do, right? That's optimizing for productivity. It's going, it doesn't matter how I feel, right? My task is here. Right, a lot of time is lost optimizing for happiness. It's just an expenditure of emotion that reduces your bandwidth for being productive. Whereas if you focus on, well, okay, how do I start my day? How do I start every day? And I recommend this to all of my clients, right? You wake up, right? Now, people go, Mark, do you meditate? Do you do this? Well, I don't know exactly how to meditate. I've never done yoga. I, you know, don't know how to play Kumbaya on my guitar. So what I do is this. The first thought that hits my mind is, what do I need to do today to bring the best version of myself to everything I encounter today? First thought, all the time. How do I bring the best version of me to everything I need to do? So whether it's interacting with you guys today on this podcast or, you know, speaking to some clients or pitching for jobs, I think about with a sense of purpose, right, how do I bring the best version of me to today? Irrespective, that's optimizing for productivity. Does that make sense?
It does.
Now, beyond that, that might take 5 or 10 minutes to think about. I need to be this. I need, that gets my head right, irrespective of whether I feel shit or whether something's not going right. Right? It's productivity. Whereas we can get out of bed, can't we, and go, oh, I feel like shit. And we start thinking about, I forgot to return that call, or that person didn't call me back, or this deal fell over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just debilitates our ability to move forward. So that's why I optimize for productivity and not happiness.
And what has been the byproduct of that in productivity? Your life? And then what?
Well, what it allows you to do is navigate difficult battles. You know, I had a fantastic experience happen to me where I'm just trying to think how long ago. This would almost be 30 years ago. I had the occasion to meet with the Formula One racing driver before his death, Ayrton Senna. Now, I don't know whether you follow Formula One at all.
Here
but,
and there.
Hey?
Here and there.
Right. A lot of people my age would know the name Ayrton Senna. He was a world champion, Formula One driver, etc. Right? And I happened to meet with him, and time doesn't permit to describe the circumstance, but we were in a shop together, and on the wall was a sketch of him in his car going around a corner, so you could see the car in this sketch and the ripple strip, you know, the red and white on the corner thing, and I looked at that and I said, how good's that? And he said, yeah, turn four Monaco. And I'm like, how do you know that? And he said, because every turn is the most important part of the track. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, everyone can go fast in a straight line. And I said, tell me more about what you mean. He said, what makes a champion is how good you are under brakes, right? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, it's about how good you are when things aren't in a straight line, okay? So granted that we encounter things that don't go our way, by optimizing for productivity, I can focus on when things are crap, which they sometimes are, and you just go, I am just going through the motions, right? It's good to just know, well, what do I need to do? I can't even think anymore, right? I can't even think. So being able to, before you go to bed at night, write down 4 or 5 tasks I need to complete. That's what I do before I go to bed. so that I can wake up in the morning, think about, well, how do I become the best version of me? I can go, these are the things I need to do today. And on days where I'm just spent because I have a lot going on in my life like everybody else, right, I can just go through the motions. That's what optimizing for productivity brings you. Now, what does that mean? I don't waste the day wallowing. I don't stay in bed, right? I fucking want to stay in bed sometimes. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to go to work sometimes. I don't want to put a smile on my face sometimes. I don't want to talk to someone sometimes. We're all like that. It's okay to be like that.
Mm.
But to make your focal point productivity means I don't even have to think about whether I feel like smiling or not. I just need to do the fucking task.
Mm.
That's it. With very little bandwidth. Does that make sense?
Mm. So, Mark, to wrap up, you've given a lot of wisdom and advice, which I think is a great place to pause so we can digest what we've learned, because there's a lot to take in. So my last question for you, if you're willing to share, is what's your hourly rate?
So I'm not willing to share because I want to tell you that I am the most expensive person I know for what I do. Okay, so I know that for sure. And I can be paid $10,000 to $50,000 for a few hours of work in what I do, right? But I know what my time is worth to me. Does that make sense? It's like I know the value of my time. And if a client's going to engage me, right, they will know the value of my time. Okay? Now, they can't know it unless I know it. And so depending on what the task is, I know how much I charge for that time. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So it's sort of skating around the question, because there's so many variables, it depends what you want me to do, right? But can I say this?
Mm.
Each of us is only fruitful for around 4 hours a day.
4 hours a day?
Around 4 hours. We're only at our peak for 4 hours a day. So I look at that. Now, some days I work longer than that, but really, you know, how many useful hours does one work in a day where they're just at their peak? How long can you go for? 4 hours. So I sort of look at that too in consideration and go, for those four, if I'm writing a webinar for somebody or creating a strategy, like that's me working at my limit, and I know how much I want to be paid to give up that bandwidth for another client. Because I'd rather be with my wife or my family or on my boat or what. I'd rather that. So I'm sacrificing that to do this job, and I want to be compensated for it, because you know what? As much as I love what I do and as much as I love the success that my clients obtain, right, I'm giving up the most important part of my life, for which is very finite, which is my time, right? I can lose all my money and I can get it back again just by working again or what have you. I can lose everything I have, right? But at the end of the day, I cannot get back time. And so my time is valuable. Whereas a lot of people just go about doing what they do and they don't appreciate that if in an unfortunate situation, you know, someone tapped them, the Grim Reaper tapped them on the shoulder and says, hey, listen, you got 4 weeks to go. No amount of money can buy them 5 or 10 or 20 or another 6 years, right? So when you say how much is your hourly rate, I say, my time is valuable. And that's why in what I do, I'm the most expensive there is, because I sincerely value my time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Blunt.
thumbnail. Thanks.